everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast, He Stutters, She Asks Him, the conversations that I have with men who stutter. You can find this on the blog, Make Room for the Stuttering, at www.stutterrockstar.com, and the episodes are freely available on iTunes. Today, I have the opportunity and privilege to speak with an amazing guy that's going to share parts of his story. So I want to say hello to Robert. Hey, Robert, how's it going?
Very good, thanks, Payne. How's yourself?
Very good, very good. And I'm excited with the opportunity to get to know you a little bit.
So
to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep yourself busy.
Okay. My name is Robert Lucas, and I come from South Australia, which is in Australia, in a small little township called Nan, which has got a population of about 4,000 people. I'm now retired. I used to work for a company called the Pipelines Authority of South Australia. They were the people that pumped the gas from the Moomba gas fields down to Adelaide. And I was a draftsman, and that's about it. I worked myself up to the position of inspector come draftsman. So it was a great job. It was one of the best jobs I've ever had. I was with the company for 26 years. So that's how great it was.
Oh, wow. Great, great. And was there a lot of speaking and communication involved in your work?
Well, yes, it was, because at the end, I found that I was in charge of the drawing office at one stage there, and I found that going to engineering meetings was very hard for myself there, because you had to tell people, you know, what your section was doing, and I found that very hard, because I don't know if the chief engineer did it on purpose or he was just doing it because he didn't think about it, but I always sat next to him and hoping that he would start with myself first of all, but he would always start on the opposite side. and of course, as you know yourself, sitting around a table of about 10 to 12 guys there, when it's your turn, you're really starting to sweat and you're starting to get very anxious. And half the time I just said things like, oh, the drawing office is going okay. But I couldn't really express myself. I couldn't say what we were really up to and how the drawing office was going. And half the time I manipulated people to attend the engineering meetings for me. So it was a time of manipulation and getting people to speak for me. And I think most stutterers can understand that, because we do tend to manipulate people to speak for us.
Now, did you ever ask the guy if he was doing that on purpose, or did you at least get an opportunity to let him know that it really bothered you?
No, because back in those days, I really tried to hide my stutter. And you find that I couldn't hide it. I was a overt stutterer. I used to pull those funny faces and stuff like that, and so I was a really what they say, I had a chip on my shoulder. I had a real chip on my shoulder, and I used to avoid speaking to people. And then I got that, people thought I was very hard to speak to, but it was mainly because I didn't want to let people know I had a stutter. And of course, everyone knew, and that's the worst part. And I have now found out that the best part is to tell people that you have got a stutter. And if you bring it out into the open, people tend to be more what's the word, more cooperative to you. You know, they tend to listen to you, and they, you know, some people say, oh, just take your time and stuff like that. But I find nowadays, if it's a tough situation, I tell people that I have a stutter, and that's it. Yeah.
Well, you sound so smooth and in control as we're talking now. So it sounds to me like you must have done some great work to have the level of easy speech that I'm hearing. Have you participated in therapy?
Yeah, I did a course called the Maguire Program. I think you've heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this changed my whole attitude towards speaking. And the thing that changed my whole outlook on life, of course, I had the tools, but tools to control my speech. But I thought the only way to overcome it is to speak as much as I can. And ever since I was a young boy, I was always keen to become an actor, you know. So I joined an acting school, and that really changed my life. It really changed my outlook on how people see you. And I can still remember what the acting teacher said, you know. And she said, everyone loves a clown, so don't worry about what people think of you. And that really opened up my eyes more. And that's it. And of course, I joined Toastmasters too, and that really helped me on my way to recovery too.
So when did you do the Maguire program? Recently?
No, I did that in 1999, and this was, I still remember the exact date. It was January 26th, 1999, and it was Australia Day, you know, so I can remember that. And it was, like I said, it gave me the tools to control my stutter. And as you know, there is no cure for stuttering. It's just to get yourself into as many speaking situations as you can. And that's what I've done. I've expanded my comfort zone, really got into as many speaking situations as I can, and just concentrate on it, you know, and don't worry about what other people think of you. And that's what I've told others, you know, about stuttering. I said, you know, we think so. Come back to when I, before the course, I used to wake up in the morning and the first thing I thought about was my speech. Right? How can I manipulate people? How can I get out of this? How can I not speak? How can I avoid this speaking situation? And it was that, you know, and that's a horrible way to exist, I think. And when I did this course, it just changed my whole life there, because I could then order my own takeaway food, you know. I didn't have to manipulate my wife to actually order the pizzas or stuff like that. I could do it myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say manipulate other people to speak for you, and then you mentioned your wife, did she do it willingly to help you out, or did you really have to coerce them to do it?
No, I was an expert at it, because I was deemed as the most courteous person out, right? I used to tell my wife, hey, why don't you make a booking at a hotel? You know, and then she used to make a booking at a hotel, and then I, being the courteous person, which people thought I was, I used to open the car door for her, open the restaurant door, but it was all to get her to ask the maitre d', have you got a table booked for Lucas? You see, it's all these little tricks that you learn to avoid speaking. And I always got her to order a table close by the bar. Not that I'm a drunkard or something like that, but it's just that I got her there so I could scream out to her, hey, what was your order? Because I couldn't say whiskey or Coke or stuff like that, you see. And I used to say, what was your order, Kay? And then she would scream out, oh, give me a Scotch and Coke. And the barman would hear it, you see. Mm-hmm. And that was the same with the kids' drinks. I couldn't say lime and bitters, so I used to get her to say, what do the kids want? And she used to say, oh, they want a lime and bitters, you know. So that was one way. But I used to manipulate people. I used to get people, like I said before, I used to get them to go into engineering meetings for me. I used to avoid it and stuff like that. And I found it a terrible way. And I found this was my last chance. And I thought, I'm going to put every effort into this. And I did. I joined Toastmasters, like I said, and I did this acting course. And it was great. I mean, I haven't looked back.
Now, did you do all three at around the same time?
Well, I was scared, you see, because I think you've been explained how the Maguire program works, but you're assigned a coach, and I told my coach, I'm scared. I'm awfully scared that I'm going to have a relapse. I said, what can I do? He said, well, I think you should join Toastmasters. So I did, and I just joined Toastmasters, and it was great. And
are you still involved in Toastmasters?
Yeah, I was instrumental in making up a club mainly for stutterers, because I was sick and tired of telling people, join Toastmasters. Hey, you've got to join Toastmasters to expand your comfort zone. This is in South Australia, of course. Mm-hmm. You've got to join Toastmasters to expand your comfort zone. But they say, oh, yeah, okay, Robert, I will, I will. Okay, Robert, I will. But you know in your own heart that they wouldn't do it. So I made this club up called More Than Words. And it was mainly set up for stutterers, okay? But now we got membership of 50-50 now. We've got people who stutter, and we got fluent speakers there. Well, so-called fluent speakers. As you know, there is no such thing as a fluent speaker.
That is correct.
They all and they all, you know. And you find this out in the Toastmasters, because you think, wow, these guys can, you know. Before the program, I thought anyone that could talk without stuttering was a fluent speaker. But when you've joined Toastmasters, and I did this course, I was amazed at how many people say and ums, and they, you know, you know, and all this stuff, all junk words. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Yeah, I can totally relate to your Toastmasters experience, because I've been involved myself with Toastmasters for about 6.5 years now, and I really threw myself into the program, and for the similar reasons that you did. I wanted to expand my comfort zones, and I wanted to have more opportunities for speaking situations. But I also found that Toastmasters gave me the remarkable opportunity to also develop stronger leadership skills as well. So yeah. I've been so happy with my experience. I am soon going to get my DTM, so I'll be a Distinguished Toastmaster probably by the end of the month, which for me is so thrilling to be able to do that as a person who stutters.
Yeah, because that's a really big achievement, because that takes a lot of hard work to get your DTM. That takes a lot of hard work. I'm just a mere silver member, you know, one of the, what's it called? Silver member, I think I am. But I was fortunate enough to go to the finals of the humorous speech contest, you know, and I represented South Australia, and we went to Victoria, and not that I won, but it was one of those really fantastic experiences, because you didn't think, you know, you thought, wow, I'm a person who stutters, and I'm here talking to about 200 to 300 people in this competition, which I would never have dreamed of, you know, and it's so fantastic that you can actually put words together and not stutter.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Well, I'm very impressed that you mentioned that not only did you compete, but that you were competing in the humorous speech contest, because to me, being funny does not come naturally for me. Yeah. So to do a humorous speech is even more intimidating, because you have to connect with the audience on such a different level. So how did you get involved in that, wanting to do humorous speeches?
Well, this relates back to my acting course, okay? Because as I said, the teacher told me everyone loves a clown, and I like being laughed at. I think it's great that people can laugh at you, because before, if anyone laughed at me when I stuttered, I used to get into fights and stuff like that, you know. I used to, like I said, I had a big chip on my shoulder. But after a while, I'm just thinking, well, people don't know how to handle it, you know, and why get uptight? And I've been into plays now. I've done a couple of plays now, and the last play I did had 278 lines. And it's a funny play, and people were laughing at me, and I thought, wow, this is fantastic, you know. It's that you can make people laugh. It's great to have that power, and it is powerful. It's a powerful thing that you can actually stand up there and you can get people to laugh at you. It's one of the most powerfulest things on this earth, I think.
Well, it sounds to me like the key is that you can get people to laugh at you, but you have to be comfortable in the place where you're at, that it's okay for people to laugh at you.
Yeah, I think that is it, because I think there are certain spots that you wouldn't be comfortable with where people laugh at you, say, but most of the times, you know, if you're doing it for a humorous speech contest, and I do lots of talks to volunteer clubs about stuttering. I go to clubs like the Lions. I think you've got Lions over in the States there.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
and there are clubs over here called Probus. And I talk about my stuttering, but I put in some stuttering jokes and I tell some jokes and people laugh at it, you know. You're putting it out there. You're telling people it's okay to stutter, and you can laugh at it sometimes, because sometimes I find it myself. I find it is funny, you know. It is. And it's, if you can take a lighthearted approach to it,
mm-hmm.
I think it becomes much easier. You know, don't take it so seriously, because, you know, stutterers tend to take their speaking so seriously, but it's not serious. It's just, don't worry about it, you know. If a person laughs at you, this person doesn't know how to handle the stutter. He just doesn't know, you know, and that's his or her way how they react to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely understand where you're coming from, that you know, that there is humor in the actual stuttering itself, but I'll admit that before I had my my aha moment or my compelling reason to change, because like you, I tried to keep my stuttering hidden for most of my life. Before I had, you know, that aha moment, I couldn't bear to have somebody laugh or make fun of me or mimic me. It would just reduce me to tears and make me feel so inadequate. And I think, you know, we all have to reach that place on our journey where we can really embrace the fact that it is okay. and it's how we perceive ourselves that allows our listener to respond. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's exactly it, okay? Because after the course, I asked one of my best mates there, I said, how did you perceive me? You know, I said, because this was the first time that I ever spoke about stuttering, because I always try to avoid it because I didn't like it, see? And it took me a long time. Have you ever seen that film, A Fish Called Wanda?
You know, I never did, and I've heard a lot of people talk about it, that was one of the most awful representations of somebody stuttering, but I never did see it.
Well, it took me 4 years to watch that film, okay, because I didn't have because I didn't like it either, all right? But then I watched it, and I actually laughed at it, you know? So just like you said, you've got to get there. This is your journey, and some people take longer to get there. It took me, I was 53 when I did the course, okay? So it took me a long time. It took me a long time, well, say 54 years to accept myself that I have a stutter, and it's okay to have one. You know, don't be afraid of it. And because it's a thing that we can't hide, but we can't advertise it. A person that's a paraplegic or that's in a wheelchair, people feel sorry for him because they can see it, but they can't see that you can stutter, you know. And if you introduce yourself, and that's the most hardest part, and if you introduce yourself and you stutter, people get this impression, you know, that you're, what's wrong with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was coming to. I spoke to my best friend after the course, and I said, how did you perceive me? And he said, oh, well, you were a great guy, you were handsome, you had a great wit about you, yeah. And then write down the list there. He said, oh, and you had a bit of a speech problem. I thought, a bit of a speech problem? You've got to be joking, you know? But you see, we perceive it as a really big thing, and we put it as number one, but it's not number one. People see you in a totally different way than we see ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've got to think about too.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when you were talking about the humorous speech and your acting, and that, you know, sometimes stuttering is just funny. Something popped up into my head. One of the sounds that I sometimes have trouble with is SH. So I can sometimes really go on with shh, 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 you know, when I'm trying to say something. And I remember one time I just went shh, shh, shit. And the other person, you know, they laughed because it was funny. You know, I just got frustrated. And we both bust out laughing at the same time, you know, and it struck me that 20 years ago I wouldn't have been able to do that, laugh.
No.
You know?
I can remember a story there, because I couldn't say the word boat, right? I couldn't say boat or ship. And a couple of my mates and myself went down to the down to the Port Adelaide, where the big tall ships had just come in. And this is going back a fair time. And I was walking down there, and I said to these guys, remembering I couldn't say boat or ship, I said, "Oh, they're the biggest canoes I've ever seen." And of course, that got a big laugh and all that. And I just thought, yeah, well, I got it out though. You know, you knew what I meant. So, right. Yeah. You know, what we used to do, and that's it. If you look back, just like you said, it is funny too. You know?
Now it is, and now we can laugh. Yeah. But I can certainly empathize, and even sympathize with younger people that maybe have not found the support or the coaching or self-help that's, or the compelling reason to make some changes. And, you know, for a lot of people, as you well know, it's easy to stay stuck in that victim type of rut that we get into with our stuttering. So it sounds like you've really traveled a long road to get to the place that you're at now, where you are comfortable.
Well, I am comfortable because I still have my moments too, but I know now that I can overcome it too, you know, and I can control my stuttering, but I get excited just like the rest of us. And I think that's the main thing, that we get excited, we know exactly what we're going to say, and we can't get the words out fast enough. Mm-hmm. And if we can hold back on that, if we can resist that time pressure to answer instantly, you're halfway there. Mm-hmm. And that's what I found. I found that I've got to control my stammering horses or my stuttering horses. You know, you've got these horses which are bolting away, and you've got to rein them in a bit. And they go, "Whoa, boy, whoa, whoa, whoa," because you get so excited, you know, because you know what's, you know, because you're thinking ahead. And I think that stutterers always think ahead far more than fluent speakers, because they can iron out the words they can't say, and they can avoid words they can't say. So they're thinking far more ahead than a fluent speaker, say, if that makes sense.
Oh, yes, it makes complete sense, because I did that for years. Mm. I would spend so much time rehearsing or scanning ahead that I wasn't listening at all to what was going on around me. So that when somebody would ask me a question, I would have no idea how to respond, because I didn't have the context anymore of the conversation. So not only then did I have to worry about what word was I going to use so that I wouldn't stutter, but now I sound it stupid because I really didn't know what the question had been, because I wasn't listening anymore. So, I think we get caught up in a bunch of different patterns because of our stuttering.
Yeah, it is odd there, because I'm on these courses, which Jeff and I do, I always say stutterers don't listen, and they don't. And you know, you've just reinforced that, because stutterers don't listen. They're so engrossed in their own speech, and they're ironing out all the words they can't say, scanning, as you call it. And that's so true. It's so true, you know. We just try to scan ahead, and we think, no, I can't say that, and I don't want to do this, and I, you know, I'll try to manipulate this person here, blah, blah, blah. And on it goes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that you avoid words, the harder they become, okay? Because I couldn't say Robert, all right? I couldn't say Robert to save my life. So I changed my name to Bob. And lo and behold, I could say Bob. Oh, Bob this, Bob that. Hello, my name's Bob. Bob, 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 Bob. And all of a sudden, I couldn't say Bob.
Oh, dear.
Unbelievable stuff. Yeah.
So, did you change your name again?
No. I just persevered, and I got most of the time. You know, once again, the manipulation comes in. I got people to introduce me. You know, and I used to sit back at parties. I used to sit back, and I got my wife to introduce me to other people, which is terrible. It's you just sat back, and you were deemed as a shy, withdrawn person. And I'm not. I'm a real extrovert type of person, you know. And I was deemed as shy and withdrawn and, you know, stuff like that. So
now, do you think that your family, your wife and your kids, do you think that they think that you're a different person now?
Well, I think they think that I'm more confident, okay, and that's it. I think I'm more confident because I tend to do things for myself. This is terrible stuff, you know. I used to sit my youngest son in the front seat, and we used to drive through the drive-in Botlows. Have you got drive-in Botlows in the States where you could drive in your car and order cartons of beer and stuff like that?
Oh, not beer, no, but we have like drive-in restaurants like McDonald's and like that.
Well, here we've got drive-in Botlows, okay, where you can drive in and you can order a carton of beer, or you can order a bottle of whiskey there. And
wow.
This sounds as though I'm a drunk, but I'm not. I used to get my son in the front seat, and I used to say, "Hey, why don't you order Dad a carton of beer?" And of course, him being about 8 or 9, thought it was excellent. Huh? And that's manipulating people.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. That's terrible stuff. You know?
Yeah.
I still sometimes think about these things, and I'm really ashamed of it. You know, I'm really ashamed of. But they didn't think about it. You know, they just thought, oh yeah, that's okay. And my kids and I'm sure my wife doesn't care that I still stutter. You know, she married me because she loved me, say, you know, and that's the same with my kids too, because they don't care. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. So. Now, going back to the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned that you had always had a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Do you think that's still true today?
No, because when I did the course, I was walking down the passageway of their work where I used to work at, and I passed this girl and I said, "How are you going?" "Oh, blah blah blah." And later I explained to her that I did this course, and she said, "Did you know, Robert?" Oh, well, she called me Bob because I was known as Bob. She said, "Did you know, Bob, that back in those old days that you used to walk around the passageways with a big chip on your shoulder?" I said, "Come on." She said, "Yes, you used to walk around like you hated the world." Right? So I went back home and I thought about it, and I thought, yes, I did. I did. I used to walk around the passageways with a sneer on my face there, and it was a front that people wouldn't speak to me, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was a front, you know. So people wouldn't speak to you, and consequently, that's avoidance, you know, that you didn't have to speak with people.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like your life has just changed dramatically in the last 12 or 13 years.
Yeah, life to me now is much easier than it was 14, 15 years ago, okay, much easier, because as I said, I can talk on the phone, because every stutter I have spoken to avoids the phone. They don't like speaking on the phone, and nowadays it doesn't faze me. I wouldn't have dreamed of talking to you 15 years ago, you know. I would avoid it. I would avoid it like the plague, you know. Even if I did stutter badly, I would avoid it. which is terrible. Mm-hmm. Which is terrible.
Yeah, because you miss out on so many of life's opportunities. And, you know, if we avoid making those connections with people, we don't get the chance to make our lives richer.
That's right. That's right. And that's it. You've got to, and this is what I found, you've got to keep pushing the boundaries. You've got to keep expanding that comfort zone. Seek out every talking moment that you can, because it's a moment that you'll never get back. And if you have a scared, if you are scared to go into a shop and order something, do it, you know, do it. Tell the person. I've told people, I've always, you know, like I said in the start there, you've got to tell people that you have a problem. You've got to say, listen, I've got a speech problem. You don't have to mention stuttering, because I know that stutterers don't like the word stutter or stammer. You know, you can say something like, I have a speech problem, just bear with me. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And they will. Mm-hmm. I've done it. I've done it on courses where I've gone in and I've said, I'm on a speech course and I've got a speech problem, just bear with me. And they say, yeah, sure, take your time. And you've brought it out in the open, and once it's out in the open, you won't stutter, you know? You know, it's a catch-22 thing. If you try to hide the fact, you will. And if you bring it out in the open, well, this is what I found. If you bring it out in the open, you won't. There is a 50-50 chance, or a 60-40 chance, you won't stutter. If you take your time and you don't, if you resist your own time pressure, and that's what I think it is too, because we get so excited, you know. Have you ever had the situation that you've gone into a shop to order something and you've rehearsed it, you've gone in, the shop's empty, and you've rehearsed it, and you're just about to go in and order, and a person walks in, and you stutter badly? Have you ever had that?
Yes, because all of a sudden I've got that fear that they're going to hear me possibly stutter, and the stakes rise if somebody else walks in.
Yeah, terrible, isn't it? I mean, it's just that we think that we're going to be judged, you know. This person's going to either laugh at us, but this person wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. He's just keen to order his fish burger or something, you know. He's just keen to get that. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Or she.
Yeah.
And it's just our perception, once again. Like you say, you know, we perceive, we're great perceptionists of other people.
Yeah, we think we can read other people's mind.
Yeah. Spot on.
isn't that amazing that we give ourselves that much power?
And the worst part is that we haven't got that power.
Exactly. But we think we do.
Yeah.
So, it's amazing how fast time flies when we're having these conversations. It's been 40 minutes already. But what's it like for you to listen to somebody else who stutters, like me, for instance? Well, what's it like for you listening to me?
It doesn't faze me, because it doesn't faze me. It's just like speaking to a fluent speaker. I mean, I know where you're coming from, and I'm sure that you know where I'm coming from, and I can listen to anyone that stutters or stuff like that, you know. But it's just that you've got to give the stutterer time to get the words out, and that's what some people can't handle. You know, you've been in this situation where people have finished your sentences for you. And sometimes it's great, because sometimes you can't get the word out and you're so thankful that the person said it for you. But sometimes it's very frustrating, you know.
It is, especially if they're wrong.
Well, my mother-in-law had that. She used to finished words for me. And then I thought, after I did the program, she still used to do it. And I used to, we've been taught on this program there, you've got to keep talking. Even if you can't get the word out, you've got to say that word, okay? So, but I used to change the word on purpose, and that soon made her stop. So if she said, for argument's sake, I'm going to the football oval, you know, I was going, she would say oval, I say, no, I'm going to the football field. I would change it on purpose. And then she stopped. Mm-hmm. She stopped, you know, which is one way to curb it too.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm still thinking about the name that you chose for the Toastmasters Club that you started primarily for people who stutter more than words.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you believe that stuttering is more than just about words?
It is. I think it's a mindset that we get into. I think that it is a mindset that we get in. If you can overcome the psychological part of it, I think you're halfway there. I haven't achieved that just yet. I haven't achieved the psychological part of it. I've overcome the physical part of it, say. I still have a couple of moments, but I get out there and I really overkill those bad situations. But I still coming to grips with the psychological part of it, because I still tend to stutter with my kids, you know, and I can't put my finger on it why I do it and why in certain situations I still stutter. And this is one of the things I'm still battling with, you know. But it's all in all, it's good though.
Yeah, but it's also good that you acknowledge that, because it's also, it makes you human.
Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate it that you kind of shared that, because at first it was sounding to me that this part of your journey has been so easy once you realized that, you know, that you don't have to worry about what other people think. So it was just kind of good to hear you say that you're still battling with part of the journey as well, because I certainly am too.
Yeah, I think even the most fluent speaker, which has done the course, I think that they're still battling too. And I think if you say that you're not, I think you're really telling a porky pie, because I think, you know, you've got to be realistic, because there are still certain situations that bring fear, and fear brings panic, and panic brings stuttering, you know, and that's part of it mm-hmm. too. You've really got to start to think, and that's the hardest part, you know, is to really stay cool and calm, and sometimes you can't. And like I said, I still sometimes stutter with my kids, and I'm still trying to figure out why. And maybe it's because they've known that I've stuttered for years and years and years, and that they don't care, you know, and that's what I have to come to grips with, and it's going to be a long fight, and I'm still battling that, and that's it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been such a delight. I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to have this conversation, and I'm really glad that I got a chance to get to know you a little bit. Thank you for joining us and for being so honest.
Well, thank you, Pam. Thank you very much for having me on your program. And I just hope I've helped someone out there, you know, and that they shouldn't take it to heart, you know, and let go. Chill out, as they say.
And on that note, this has been He Stutters, She Asks Him.